There's a lot to say when buying a new home or car, but only one thing to say that can help you protect them. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Hear me?
I did. I heard you.
And just like that, a State Farm agent will be there to help you choose the coverage you need. You just say that and they show up. They come jumping out of a shrub.
Oh, cool.
No matter where you are in life, when you need the coverage options, your State Farm agent is there to help on the phone or in person. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Dunkin' Cold K cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Okay. God, I love saying that. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker. Just brew over ice and sip in seconds. Bold, smooth Dunkin'. Taste you know and love. Find Dunkin' Cold Coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
Hi, my name is Jack. My name is Black. My name is Jack Black. And I feel shitty about being Conan O'Brien's friend.
Jesus.
I didn't, in fairness, I didn't read the whole sentence before I threw in however you feel.
You know what? You accidentally told the truth, didn't you?
Yeah.
You did.
Fall is here, hear the yell. Back to school, ring the bell. Brand new shoes, walking blues. Climb the fence, books and pens. I can tell that we are gonna be friends. Gonna be friends.
Hello, Conan O'Brien here. Welcome to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. Some say my desperate ploy to use the podcasting medium to make a few pals. It's actually working. Having a lot of fun talking with a lot of really terrific people and enjoying the company of my good amigos, Sonam Ovsesian, my assistant.
Hello. Hi.
And Matt Gourley.
Hi.
Producer, I suppose. And what? No,
suppose.
Well, whatever. I like a safety word in there just in case. I don't quite know what it is you're up to with this podcast. But I got to say my mind's a little blown because today, for reasons I don't understand, I've been seated on the opposite side of the table. Now, to anyone listening, if you're in your car or you're making love.
You think people listen to you when they're making love?
Oh. I assume. I think that this podcast is sort of like a Barry White album.
No.
No, this is a contraceptive.
You think the sound of my voice.
This podcast is the abstinence method.
It's a boner killer.
You just called this podcast, which, by the way, is, I think, held in high regard, a boner killer?
Yes. Yes.
No. I disagree. I think people are listening right now. I think the sound of my reedy, pinched voice is causing people's erogenous zones to heat and swell.
Ew, stop. Jesus, stop.
I think my slightly nasal, gender ambiguous voice is causing babies to just spring forth in the womb.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I think you're the anti-fluffer. I think it's like...
You mean as if there were a problem, you say that on porn sets they need a fluffer,
yeah.
But then sometimes there's a guy whose erection won't go away.
Yeah. Right.
And so what they do, they used to have an anti-fluffer who would just hold up pictures of your grandmother playing baseball, but they then found an easier method, automated, which is just to play Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend.
Yeah.
Right.
And the sound of my voice would cause the erection not only to fall, but the penis then to curl up inside the abdominal wall of any male. Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm saying.
And then, yeah, yeah. And for the penis to come back out again, it would need to be coaxed with various candies and
candies.
Promises of maybe, oh, we'll go see a movie, we'll take you to a movie, you know.
I ain't coming out. Staying in here.
No, don't worry. Conan's gone. Conan's
not gonna come out.
Just come on out. We turned off Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend penis. You can come out.
trust you. Just gonna stay in here for a while in the old abdominal cavity.
Penis, you can come out. We turned it off.
I like it in here. We've got a magazine.
You've got a magazine, do you?
Yeah. I'm reading The Atlantic.
Oh, you're reading The Atlantic?
I have a question.
Yes.
What kind of candy gets a penis to come out from the abdominal wall?
Well,
and I'm not asking for me.
No, no, I know. Okay. I know. You got to coax them out, but they love a gummy worm.
Oh, that makes sense, I guess.
Yeah, they love a gummy worm because it looks sort of like, you know, like a friend they might have known maybe earlier. They like a Sour Patch.
I do too.
But anyway, okay, well, that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how we got into that.
Well, because you're sitting catty-corner from Sona.
Yeah, usually Sona and I are side by side, and this time we're catty-corner, and I think I'm going to try and do the forensics on what just happened. But I believe what happened is that we were talking about it's so weird to be on this side, and then I imagined people doing it while they were listening to the podcast, and then you said, oh, no one's listening while they're doing it.
Right.
And by doing it, I mean sexual congress.
You didn't have to explain it.
Okay. Yep. And then you said, no, the show's a boner killer. And then, Matt, you were quite happy to say that it's actually probably destroys semen.
Yeah, I think it's a sterilization tool. It's mass sterilization.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
The fertility rates.
You know, I've been contacted by the Chinese government. Very interested in using they want to use this podcast. Try and keep population levels lower. So, all right. Well, that was a wake-up call for me.
Yep.
It's old boner killer O'Brien here. Just very unhappy right now. You know, I shouldn't be. I shouldn't be unhappy because no transition here, but I was going to say we've got a guest who's definitely not a boner killer, but what does that mean? That's creepy too. That's awful. What does that mean? Do you know what I mean? That's awful. Everything's awful. I'm trapped right now in this thick mud and I can't, anything I do is wrong. So I can't say my next guest definitely gets the old Johnson at full staff because that, what does that mean? That's weird. That's crazy. I can't say that. There's no transition. I'm stuck. So I'm just going to have to say, you know, am I happy?
Don't make that noise.
Yeah.
Okay. That's no good.
Yeah.
My guest today is an absolutely hilarious actor and musician. You know him as the lead singer and guitarist of the rock band Tenacious D, and from such movies as School of Rock, Tropic Thunder, and Jumanji. Welcome to the jungle. The sequel, Jumanji The Next Level, is in theaters Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, the very funny, multi-talented Jack Black is with us. Jack. Look at you. You're a huge star now.
That's right.
Remember when we first met and I said, you'll never be a star. Remember that?
That was so cruel, but it planted a seed in me to say, I will prove Conan wrong.
I told you, I took you by the shoulders and I looked you in the eye and I said, as sure as I draw a breath, you will never have success in this business.
You know, the first time we crossed paths, wasn't it when I came on your show to replace Andy Richter? That was my bit. That was my comedy bit.
I don't know if that was the first time you came on, but you did a hilarious bit where you were auditioning to be the new sidekick to replace Andy.
Yes.
And because Andy was absolutely hilarious.
Well, he had announced that he was going to peel off for a while. He was going to pursue other things.
Yeah.
And that's what, so I took that lane.
Yeah.
That comedy.
You came in hard and you said, I want to be Conan's sidekick.
Yes. And I wrote a new sidekick song.
We're going to put this up online because it's absolutely hilarious. It's still one of the funniest things.
It's the best thing I've ever done. But I did feel a little bad because it was so, I was enjoying it so much. And Andy, I could tell he was like, I felt a little bit like embarrassed that I was pointing so much attention at his impending departure.
Right.
And relishing at how much better I would be at sidekicking.
You know what? But it could never have worked. It couldn't have worked because of our, you know, you're one of those horses that can't be broke. You know, that's the problem. You're too, Sona, what's your problem?
Sorry.
What is your problem?
That analogy is really funny.
No, you're just, you're one of those crazy stallions that came out of the hills. And everyone's like, wow. You know, Andy, yes, he has pride and everything, but eventually I broke him. I broke Andy and now he's a mule. It's just,
just clopping along, and he's taking kids on a five-dime ride through the pass. But you, Jack Black, you can't be broke.
Yeah, no, it would have come to blows when you tried to break me.
Yeah.
We would have, we would have butted heads.
And the way I break sidekicks is literally getting on their backs and wearing a cowboy hat and trying to ride them. And it's embarrassing. It's an embarrassing and often confusing scenario.
That's not a sidekick, really. That's more of a ride kick.
You and your rhyming.
It's all about the rhymes to me. I can't help it.
You know, I remember the first time I heard your name was from Bob Odenkirk.
Yeah.
Bob Odenkirk said to me years ago, Tenacious D. And I remember very clearly him telling me Tenacious D. And I was like, wait, what's a Tenacious D? Because I didn't know. And he was like, these guys are hilarious. And then eventually you and I met. And the first time we met, you came out on the air. I think I interviewed you or talked to you. And then in the commercial break, you leaned over and Robert Smigel and I had written this really weird TV pilot. And you had also done a really weird TV pilot that had become sort of like weird underground cult status. You leaned over and you whispered in my ear, look well. Like it was a secret to open a cave or something. And I was like, oh, you've seen Look Well? And you're like, Look Well, man. I saw it. Yeah. I had a tape of a tape of a tape of a tape. And then I talked to you about your amazing pilot you made.
Yeah, I made one with Ben Stiller at the helm.
And, what's and it called? It's called...
It was called Heat Vision and Jack.
Heat Vision and Jack.
And that was... Or Dan Harmon, who yep. now has this incredibly successful cartoon on the air, Rick and Morty. He wrote that pilot for me about because we had a little meeting at Swingers Cafe. Ben Stiller got us together. He said, you guys should collaborate together and I'll produce it and maybe direct it if I like it. And so right. we got together and we were riffing on ideas. And I was just like, well, my favorite show growing up was $6 Million Man. It'd be really cool if you could write a comedy where, you know, I have enhanced powers yes. like $6 Million Man. And he just took that and ran with it. And he and his friend Rob wrote this thing that was a combination of $6 Million Man and Knight Rider, where like I rode a talking motorcycle.
Yep.
And
it's hilarious. Yes. If you got to find it and watch it, I'm sure this is old news to people with lots of comedy cred. But if you haven't seen it, Heat Vision and Jack is, and it's funny because your superpower is that when you're hit with sunlight,
yeah,
you be is it sunlight or moonlight?
It's sunlight.
Sunlight. When you're hit,
so dumb.
When you're hit with sunlight, you become the smartest man in the world.
Yeah.
And so there's actually this moment where I think you're in like a jail or something, and the sun is moving its way slowly across the room, and then it goes up the bars and it hits you, and it's this really cheesy effect, and you just say, "I know everything."
Yes, I know everything, and that's what happens. And it would have happened every episode, you know, when I was in a really tight situation. Somehow I would gain access to sunlight, and I would solve the problem.
Somehow gain access to sunlight, the most readily available.
But sometimes substance. I'd be, you know, indoors, and I couldn't get the sunlight, so there would have to be the reflection off a thing and a thing or whatever. But it was a really funny, stupid pilot, and it borrowed a little bit from Charlie Kaufman, where you take someone real, like he did with Being John Malkovich.
Yep.
But you create a fiction around them.
Yep.
And we had this guy, because I was from NASA and I was this astronaut that was on the run from the government and NASA because they wanted to chop out my brain and study how can he be the smartest in the world. And the head of NASA security, this just incredible killing machine, was Ron Silver. The actor,
yes,
also known as the actor Ron Silver. But then the thing you didn't know about Ron Silver is he was this killing machine.
No, and it's such a great choice because Ron Silver, it was not an obvious choice.
Yeah.
You know, it was so great that Ron Silver is, yeah, he's busy being an actor, but he's also got this other thing he does, which is he's a killing machine for NASA.
Yeah.
So here's my point. Because I always have a point because I'm very, very good at this.
you're listening like to you're killing listen, time. You're like listening. You're trying to think of a point.
No. Here's my point. And I'll tell you about this point when it comes. It's not a time-killing measure, but points are important. No, like Heat Vision and Jack, you probably thought, this is the path. And then it gets turned down. then it's, okay, what is it going to be next? Is it going to be music? Is it going to be, how do I find what I'm, what is Jack Black?
Yeah, I had lots of swings and misses. You're trying to take me down this road where it was better that it didn't get picked up. It was meant to be, but I disagree. There's a sliding door reality where Lookwell was the biggest hit comedy of all time. But yeah, be that as it may.
Well, now I'm depressed.
I'm sorry to do that to you.
So there's an alternate reality where I own a Greek island because I've created pretty much the Friends of 1990.
Well, I'm just saying that, yeah, you can swing and miss, and that's not the end. It's just they're all like steps on a ladder.
Right.
But like me and Kyle did a movie called Pick of Destiny. Nobody went to see it. It did not get good reviews. It was clearly a miss on all counts. But here we are, you know, 15 years later, still going on tour, and yeah, we still play those songs. Those songs from that movie
from Pick of Destiny,
the
yeah,
biggest reaction of our whole set because, you know, that little movie that nobody liked at the time has over time gotten a little cult status amongst, you know, your heavy metal stoners of the world. That's a slightly bigger group than you think.
You know, I used to think that you were a music guy who became a comedy guy, and that's really not the case. You picked up the guitar late.
Yeah.
Relatively late.
I got going around 23 years old, which is not usually when you start a musical instrument.
That's me. That's me too. I think I started when I was 22.
Yeah.
And it was me, just a lack of, I didn't have money. I was a kind of a shitty drummer. I had a drum set. I came to L.A. In 1985, and I thought, you can't have drums in L.A. I have a $380 a month apartment. They're going to let me have, you know, the landlady isn't going to let me have a drum set. And who would I play with? So I remembered going to a pawn shop and getting a Freedom guitar in Hollywood and getting a $90 guitar and a little chord book, the Mel Bay chord book, and saying,
were you
well—
you self-taught?
I did for a while, and then I was wise enough and smart enough, and I recommend this to anyone out there listening, get a talk show with a band. And then every day you're with someone who's like, no, you slide up the neck this way. Thanks a lot. But well, you dove into it strong.
Well, I dove into it, but I had my Jim Avino early in Kyle Gass. He was my buddy from the Actors Gang Theater here in L.A.,
He was the one leaning on you to get better and better and better.
No, I was leaning on him to teach me his ways to make me a rock star. I wanted him to guide me. And I would bring him Jack-in-the-Box food in exchange for guitar lessons. And we would record the jams that we would do. And then we would go stony playback. That was our thing. Let's smoke a J and then listen back to what we did.
That's called stony playback. We have to do that with the podcast.
I would love to do that. I know you
I'm
would.
Stony playback. I'm in.
Yeah. I mean, I won't partake, but I want you to.
Come on. Be a square.
Hey, man, you might be a narc. What if all this time Sona was a narc? she's just biding her time over a 10-year period.
Slow burn.
To catch me. But you know what's cool is, so you get all of this accolades and you create a lot of joy with Tenacious D. And I understand you and Kyle just worked with Mr. Jack White, your opposite in all things.
Yeah.
You worked with Jack White and you cut an album at Third Man Records.
We had this opportunity because we were going on tour through the South doing Texas and all these different places. And we were going into Nashville where his headquarters now are. He moved from Detroit to Nashville.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been there.
But I think he's still got a finger and a toe in each place. Like, I think he's got a little Detroit headquarters as well.
I think he does, yeah.
He heard that we were coming there, and he said, hey, when you guys come to Nashville, why don't you stop by and lay down some hot tracks at my studio? We'll do this cool thing where it doesn't take any time. You can, like, come right before soundcheck and just record live to vinyl.
Yes.
In this weird, like, antique booth. The way they used to back in the olden times. And we were like, well, we have to do it. We can't say no to Jack White's invitation if for no other reason just to hang out with Jack White. It'd be very foolish to bypass that opportunity.
Why did you do that to the word foolish? There was no reason.
It comes from insecurity. I go for a weird pronunciation comedy. But anyway, So we say yes, but we don't know what we're going to sing. I don't want to sing an old song. We have to write a new song for Jack White, you know. And so we wrote this little jam basically on the way to the studio about how nervous we were about jamming with Jack White and for him in his studio and making just wanting to do so well, wanting to rock so hard. Don't Blow It, Cage is the name of the song. Don't Blow It, Cage. Just play the best shits you've ever fucking played. And so Jack White's like, you know what, guys? There's actually a couple options. We can do the thing where I put you in the weird antique booth where you just play live and it goes right onto an album. Or you could come over to my house, to my home studio, and we could do like a slightly souped up version of that in my home studio. And it'll be like more legit and like we can track it.
Yep.
And we're like, we're doing that one, the better one, because mainly we want to see what your house looks like.
Yep.
We want to gain access to the inner sanctum.
Yeah.
So we go over to his house and oh my God, my itchy trigger finger was so hot on my phone. I wanted to be snapping photos, but he was like, as soon as we got there, it's like, guys, if it's cool, no photos. Like, yeah, no, of course not, no photos. Fuck. So we go in through the house and it's like a museum. It's like you would expect with Jack White, because he's, you know, always been a visual artist along with his music. There's always been this kind of aesthetic. Right?
Oh, my God,
colors and the shapes and the things.
A lot of thought goes into...
Yes. Micro details in the house and like funny, strange rooms that have jokes to them. Like there's this gorgeous like throne room where you would go and sit in the throne. And this chair was ornate and filled with details. And on either side of the throne, there's these two giant lions, taxidermy lions, that are... And he's like, that's where I go to read if I just want to read between the lions.
No.
He goes to read between the lions.
Boo.
You may say boo.
End this now. I say boo.
Yeah. No, I say yay. But... I was wandering through there and I was thinking, God, why can't I take pictures? Why wouldn't he want to share this with the world? Why would he keep this all hidden and secret?
Yeah.
And then I realized why. I didn't say anything then, but I was thinking, this is his Graceland.
Yeah.
Someday when he dies, people will wander through these. It'll be open to the public.
And I was right.
Like, fuck, I need to make my Graceland.
We all have to make our Graceland. Well, here's the revelation I had, because I got to hang out with him in Nashville a bunch of years ago, and we made an album with my band, and I'm at Third Man Records, and I'm thinking, what is it about this place? Because there's all this crazy stuff on the wall. There'll be like a, like you said, like some kooky antique taxidermied animal that has a digital clock in its skull. And then there'll be, like a weird machine in the corner that's a fortune-telling machine from 1911. And then you notice that everyone who works for him is wearing, they're dressed in a certain way. The guys are all wearing bowler hats and they look kind of like hip Hasidim. And then the women are all wearing another kind of different costume. There's no rhyme or reason to anything. And then I had this revelation. He's a Batman villain. I had this revelation, which is he's a Batman villain. And you know what? The only place I've seen this before is on Batman, because if you're the Penguin, you hire 15 people
Adam
and you say—
Adam West era.
Yeah. And you say, and you've hired 15 people and you say, you're all dressing like penguins. And they're like, okay. And we're going to put penguins all over the place. Sure. It's your abandoned macaroni factory on the bad side of town. So that was my big revelation, is that he's an insane superhero villain that really exists. And I also was trying to picture, what if you're the UPS guy and that's part of your delivery route?
Yeah.
And you come to the door and you go, yeah, I've got a Gatling gun. I've got a World War I Gatling gun that's been turned into an Edison era music player. And it has fur on it. And to be Jack White at the door going, Yeah, wrong address. That's not for me.
You asshole, I know it's you.
But if he's the Batman villain, who is the Batman? That's the problem, is he doesn't have a Batman to battle against.
Right.
Unless you say maybe the Black Keys.
Yeah, exactly.
But they don't, well, it could be a Batman and Robin, those two.
Yeah, sure they are. It's two of them. It's two of them.
They're not playing along, though. They don't have, like, the costumes.
We don't know what they do.
They need to step the costume game
up. We don't know what they do at night. They might be protecting us all, the Black Keys.
Nothing brings the family together like a large two-topping pizza. It's the perfect way to celebrate any occasion. This happens all the time at my house.
Yeah.
I say, kids, let's get together. Your father wants to tell you stories of his childhood. Nobody comes running, all right? But guess what? When I get one of those two large two-topping pizzas at Domino's, suddenly everybody wants to hear from Daddy. At Domino's, you can carry out large two-topping pizzas for just $6.99 for this week only. No limit on number of pizzas. You know, what toppings do you like? I like pepperoni.
I like pepperoni. I like olive. I like bell pepper. I like mushrooms. I know you don't like mushrooms. I like mushrooms.
Yeah. Well, you didn't have to out me as a no mushroom guy, but okay. Domino's Pizza. That's the way to get the whole family together. And this is a great deal. Visit Domino's.com or use the app to order your large two-topping pizzas for $6.99 each. Carry out only. You must ask for this limited time offer. Valid 422 through 428. Tax may apply. Prices, participation, and charges may vary. Sona, where else can you go surfing and skiing the same day, huh?
I don't know.
Or check out a world-class art museum and then camp at a dark sky sanctuary that night, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah, where else can you hike through redwoods and then get a luxury spa treatment?
Where?
Well, you live there. California. California, Sona. No matter where you go across the state, you'll find a way to play. I'm a California resident. Sona, you are a lifelong California resident.
I'm a lifer. I love this place.
This is a beautiful state. Gorgeous. So many different, wonderful ecosystems in one state. You can hang out by a Palm Springs pool. You know, you can go whale watching, you can go hiking in Yosemite, and then talk about the great cities in California. You get all this amazing food, sushi, whatever you want, they got it in California. Hey, if you can't find it in California, man, you got a problem.
Yeah.
I shouldn't have done that. I made that up on my own. Anyway, I love California. Discover why California is the ultimate playground. Head to visitcalifornia.com to start planning your trip today. Okay, you freaks, quick math. The less your business spends on operations, multiple systems, and delivering your product or service, the more margin you have and the more money you keep. Right,
yeah,
guys?
That's what I think about all the time.
That's all I think about. I'm a real whiz. But with higher expenses on materials, employees, distribution, and borrowing, everything costs more. It just does.
Yeah.
Words.
So to reduce, what's that?
Words.
Yeah, exactly. That helped. So to reduce costs and headaches, smart businesses are graduating to NetSuite by Oracle. You knew where I was going with this, right?
Yeah, I do. Please tell us what NetSuite is.
I shall. NetSuite's the number one cloud financial system. It brings accounting, financial management, inventory, and HR into one, count them, one platform and one source of truth.
Yeah.
By bringing all your major business processes into one platform, you will not only improve efficiency, you'll also cut costs. Yep. NetSuite lives in the cloud with no hardware required, accessible from anywhere. That's why they call it the cloud. Over 37,000 companies have already made the move. If you're not doing it, you should too. Hey, so do the math. That sounds aggressive. See how you'll profit with NetSuite. Backed by popular demand, NetSuite has extended its one-of-a-kind flexible financing program for a few more weeks. Wow. Head to netsuite.com/Conan. netsuite.com/Conan. One more time if you weren't listening. netsuite.com/Conan.
There must have been a day when you realized I can do things with my eyes.
Yeah.
I can make my eyes crazy jack-o'-lantern eyes. There's a day where you catch yourself doing that in the mirror and you're like, got it. I've got that. That's one arrow.
My earliest memory of getting attention, I had, as you know, I was obsessed with the $6 million man.
Yep.
And I did get some wires from the garage and put them up my sleeve and hid them, though, in the sleeve, tucked them away so that it would if I was at school and they would accidentally come out, then people would think, oh, and then I would hide them. I don't want you to see these wires. Then people would think I was bionic, that I had bionic powers. And so that's not really comedy, but
it's deeply sad.
It's from the same place of wanting to get attention and be special. Very Radiohead. I'm a creep.
Yeah.
Wish I was special. But, oh, here's one. This is not politically correct, but back in the day of... You remember Weird Al Yankovic,
sure,
at the height of his powers in the 70s. There was a song before Weird Al's My Bologna.
Right.
The song that was making fun of My Sharona. Mm-hmm. There was a song called Ayatollah that was making fun of My Sharona.
Yes.
And me and some other kids did a cover of that at the school assembly. And we had the turbans and the beards, and it just killed. We were the funniest thing to ever happen to Hermosa Beach North School. But I don't recommend doing that now. That gag did not age well.
But it was of its time.
Yeah. But, you know, that was an early experience that gave me the bug of going, this could be a fun – I love to make people laugh. And I was doing, like, improv – I remember at a Passover Seder, we went to a friend's house, a friend of the family, and she was this rad lady who was a Holocaust survivor, and she was really intense. But then after we finished the Seder, she said, "Now it's time to play the freeze game." And we went to the living room, and she taught us this old Viola Spolin improvisational game where two people go up there and just – have a little conversation, and then anyone in the audience can say freeze, and then they have to freeze in their body position. Then you go up and tap one of them on the shoulder and they leave, and you take their body position and you change the scene based on this body position. And I did it all night, and I just kept on saying freeze, and I couldn't stand being in the audience. I only wanted to be up on stage, which, when you think about it, that's a super annoying personality trait. But I think that's what it takes. You have to want it so bad that you just...
Your eyes just... people can't see this on the podcast, but your eyes became demonic as you were talking about it.
But it's a hunger. It's a, you know, it's a fine line between a sickness of being empty and too needy and actually being meant for... the stage.
Well, I'll tell you, my father said to me years ago, early in the run of my late night show, this is, you know, 26 years ago, he said to me, and he's a scientist, he said, "Oh, I see." And he wasn't doing a joke. He just said, "You're making a career out of something that should probably be treated." And it's true. It is actually true. It's, you know, I wish he had, you know, said "I love you" or something, but I'm sure that was coming later. But no, that's his way of telling me he loves me. It's true. There is a fine line between this is good, this is fun, this is healthy and a great way to make a living, and probably this needs to be medicated in some ways.
I think that it's a scary way to make a living because there's so much adrenaline involved with getting up in front of an audience and entertaining them, because the idea of not entertaining, going up there and bombing, is so terrifying. They're judging you.
Yeah.
So the only way that it works is if you want it so badly that you're willing to risk that kind of humiliation. So it takes a kind of desperation. I don't know many performers that don't have a seed of desperation at their core.
Yeah. Again, your eyes got crazy. Man, you really spike. You pick a certain part of the sentence and you go, "It's true."
You found my... That's my technique.
That's your technique.
I've been doing it since sixth grade.
Yeah. "I'd like a latte, please. And if you could just put a little bit of pumpkin spice in there, I'd appreciate it."
I don't know why I do that. There's just certain words and sentences where I kick into overdrive right in the middle of the sentence.
But also, like, the way you perform, when you go out, especially, I mean, in comedy and in music, you take it to 11 in a way that I would think it would take you hours to come down afterwards.
Oh, yeah. It's hit or miss. You know, sometimes I'll see a performance in a movie and I'll go, good Lord, God, take it down, Jack Black. You're up at 11. This scene clearly called for a 6. But other times it feels great to take it to the maximum. When me and Kyle are out there performing with Tenacious D, yeah, I go full throttle and I'm on a literal high afterwards for hours, and it's definitely like a drug. And
that's the sound of green tea
still going.
Going down. Hey, killed a whole bottle in one galoop. That was pretty good, huh?
I have a little bit of ADHD, I think, where I'll start a sentence and I think I know what I'm talking about and I think I know where I'm heading, what the point of it is, and then I'll lose it in the middle of the sentence. I can't remember what the hell I was talking about or where I was going.
That happens to all of us, I think. You know what? It gets worse, I will say. I'm a little older than you. It gets worse over time.
I heard that it gets better, though, if you exercise super strenuously. I read this in a New York Times article
just yesterday. I wouldn't know.
I was thinking about climbing a mountain later.
Yeah. If you
want to. Do you know what my favorite exercise? I like to push my bicycle up the mountain because it's too hard to ride it up.
Exactly.
Even in the super easy gear.
Right.
That looks ridiculous, like a circus performer, by the way. It's like, wait, why don't you just walk? You're pedaling way faster than a person walking next to you would be stepping. But
so when you're pushing it up, does it have a little bell? Because the saddest thing in the world is to be pushing a bike. I've done this. Pushing a bike up a hill and then occasionally ding, ding, ring the bell without ever getting on the bike.
I think it's really sweet that you have a bell on your bike.
But I do.
No, I don't have the bell. It's a safety thing.
Safety equipment. I like to mountain bike. And so on the way down, you're supposed to have this bell that's constantly ringing. It just rings because every time you... Well, what it is, it's just a bell that you take the clapper or you take the muffler off. So on the way down, you're making a little ga-jing, ga-jing, ga-jing sound. So if you're coming around a corner, people have warning that a bike is coming down the hill.
That's smart.
It's smart, but it's also very emasculating. Because, you know, I've got my gear on and I'm going down the hill and dust is flying around. You're like, I've got ice cream for everyone. It's just, I don't know. It takes some of the cool factor out of it.
You could just, like, put a card, a baseball card or something in between your spokes, right? Don't they do that to make a sound?
Well, then people will just think a blackjack dealer is coming down the hill.
Someone's shuffling up behind them.
You are you're quite the gamer, aren't you?
I do enjoy gaming, but I have to say, as of late, I've been all about my iPhone games, which has ruined my console gaming. Like, I used to be all about my Xbox and PlayStation, and I still haven't even conquered Red Dead Redemption Part 2. Which I was so anticipating for years.
You know what? I heard so much hype about Red Dead Redemption 2.
Yeah.
That I was going to get it.
Yeah.
And my son is really talented at computers and he built a computer for me so I could play games.
Oh, man.
I mean, I gave him I said, look, if you build this thing, it's a really cool thing. And he did it with his friend. I'll buy the parts. So they put together this really cool computer for me to just, you know, so I could do Red Dead Redemption 2. And then before I even got the game, people were telling me, people who were good at games were saying, yeah, so far I've just been wandering around and collecting hay for my horse. And I saw, like, well, how long you been playing? About 6 weeks. What else did you do? I got some wax and I put them on my chaps.
Yeah.
And then I got more hay for my horse and some oats. And then my horse wandered off, so I had to go find my horse. And that took about 6 weeks. And I got dispirited before I even tried it.
So, yeah, you never even saddled up.
I didn't saddle up.
That game is, from what I've gathered, it's more like living life, really, than playing a game.
Right.
But
and I'm playing a game where I live life called living life. I don't need to do that.
You can choose to be more proactive and get to the story and get to the next piece of the puzzle.
So I can just press a button and it gets me to, you get yours, let's draw, that kind of thing.
Yeah. You can avoid the conflict and just, you know, go buy some moonshine and wander through the desert aimlessly, or you can go where you know the story wants you to go. It's a real commitment, a time commitment, that my phone has taken so much of those.
So what are you doing on your phone?
It's all right now. It's all about WGT golf.
What?
And it's really embarrassing because.
What are you talking about?
It's
golf?
A golf game. Yes.
And you do it on your phone?
Yes.
Do you do a swipe to do the swing?
Yes. And it's extremely satisfying. And truth be told, expensive.
How is it expensive?
It's just horrifying because they figured me out. They know my brain. And I have a little bit of OCD. And there's a bunch of choices of clothing that you can wear. And the clothing doesn't just look rad, which is important to me. I do want my avatar to look super sharp. But and also a big mistake a lot of people do is like, you got to match. Make sure the socks matches the shirt and the pants match the hat. No, dude, you look dumb. You look like a circus performer with your weird triangle patterns. You gotta go like tasteful top, loose hanging, green pattern, and then not a matching color down below. But
this is Sona's
the main thing with the clothing is that each piece of clothing has a value that helps your game. Like, this is going to help your short game. It improves your accuracy on your drive. This one gives you more strength on your drive. And to buy these little pieces of digital clothing, you actually either have to put in tons of hours of work, or you can just buy it and get it done real quick. And I'm not going to tell you how much money I've spent on these clothes because I don't even know. It's been so much money and it's horrifying.
So your children will not go to college because you wanted the avatar on your phone that plays pretend golf to be dressed appropriately.
I have set aside some money for their college, but it will.
You'll dip into it. You know you will.
Yeah, they're not going to be going to the best college. they're still enough to send them to a good college.
Sure, a good state school.
But it's not just money, but hours of time. It's both. And it's so foolish.
I did this with Clash of Clans. My son was really into Clash of Clans like, you know, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, and his friends were into it too. And then he got me into it, and I wanted to partake with my son. You know, I wanted to be part of his world. And so, again, it was like, you can spend all this time slowly making sure that you get a tiny little catapult, or you can just buy the catapult. And so I started doing that. And then you see this little like, bloop, you know, like MasterCard charge, bloop, you know, and you don't think that much about it because each one is so small.
Yeah.
And then I remembered showing my son and his friends. I'm like, check out check out my fortress. And so he and his friends online checked out my fortress, and his friends were like, wow, you know, your dad's got the cannon that shoots lava, and he's also got the special massive dinosaur bird that drops boulders, and he's got six of them positioned on each. And I was getting some props from my kids, and then my son was like, you're buying this stuff, aren't you?
And I was
like, yeah. And then I started to, I think I checked a bill, and it was, oh my God, I could have bought an okay watch.
Yeah.
And instead, I've defended something that doesn't exist to impress friends of my son that I haven't met.
Yeah.
It was bad. And that's when I had to go cold turkey. And I think that fort exists somewhere.
You cut yourself off?
I cut myself off.
No, that fort has definitely been raided since then. You can't just leave a... a delicious fort.
It
like
was
that
a good fort.
Open.
It's a really good fort, and I think it's been raided and pillaged and destroyed.
No, those things take maintenance to protect them.
I know. They're so smart, these gaming companies.
Yeah. And to you destroy can carry it around in your pocket while you're waiting for the dentist or anything. You can't do that with the console games.
You wait for the dentist?
Yes, I wait.
And you're doing it all wrong, man.
My golf.
I show up and I go, Conan O'Brien's here. Everyone shit themselves. I actually say that. I say, I'll just be sitting in this chair now. You're sitting on an old woman, Mrs. Hepstein. Well, I don't see her television show. Does she have a television show? You're hurting me. Toss. Crunch. That's her bones crunching. She hits the ground. Lie down. That's the sound effect of me lying down. Hanging out on a seat. It's a lazy sound effect. Lie down. Reach. Those are my sound effects from now on. Yeah.
When I go to the dentist, I really look forward to that laughing gas.
And you get laughing gas?
And the last time I went, I was hit with a cold fish. They just realized that laughing gas, nitrous, actually is bad for you. And it's bad for the people that give you the nitrous. They get a little whiff of it on the side. They get like a contact high. It causes something like it can mess with your reproductive organs.
Wow. I never
so
heard anything.
Now I don't.
I thought laughing gas was something from like the 1950s. I didn't know people still got it.
Yeah, nitrous did. I guess maybe I'm the last of the Mohicans. Anyone else here get the laughing
My
gas?
My wife does. You know,
yes!
Amanda, she goes to a chicken dentist because she's afraid of shots. So wow. She gets gas every time.
Only a chicken dentist has it? What does that mean?
Like for chickens, for dental chickens.
Oh, for scared
chickens.
People.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I'm a chicken.
So you don't want to get Novocaine?
I hate that numbness feeling. That puffy numbness?
No, I don't like it. I just didn't know there was an alternative. I've never been offered gas.
The gas. You'd have to ask for it. They've got it. They just don't offer it. And now, especially since they found out about the organs. Now I don't think you can get it.
I'm not having kids anymore, so.
That's what I'm saying. Gas them. Gas them balls. But the thing that's great
about
they're
going to gas the balls?
That's how they do it now.
Oh, they put a little mask, two masks, over each testicle and gas the balls. Sweet.
Here's the thing.
I got to do this
great.
Now. Sona, book me a dental appointment with a pervy old dentist.
Ask for the ball gas.
Yeah, I want to say Conan's coming and he's going to want ball gas and he's going to sit on any old woman who's in the chair when he gets in.
Okay.
You get the gas. They gas you up and you just blitzed. You're like, and my mind just travels and wanders to strange exotic places. It's a wonderful blazing high. And then as you're coming down, they switch it to oxygen, just pure oxygen. So it like flushes all of the toxins out and you're good to go.
So you're perfectly, it wears off and then there's no pain. Or are you aware of the pain, but you don't care?
Okay, I do it even just for like a cleaning.
You do it for a cleaning?
I actually go in there and I don't need dentistry at all. I'm just like hooking up that juicy ball gas.
Are you sure you're even seeing a dentist? I think you're just going to a place where they just put on ESPN. They send you to a special world.
Remember when Woody Harrelson had oxygen bars?
Yeah, I do remember that.
It was just like that. It's just Woody Harrelson. I go over to his house and he gasses my balls.
Man, I wish you had that at your house and that I was invited.
What happened to that oxygen bar thing? That didn't really take off.
I think they realized that it's in the air. And you know what I mean? It's one of those things where it's like you'll go to a special place and you'll get oxygen and we'll charge you.
Maybe
and then someone realized that, oh, well, no.
Wasn't it like flavored though? Fruity pebble flavor? And
I don't remember that. I never went. I never experienced it.
I imagine it was based on that rad movie. Did you ever see that incredible movie, Harold and Maude?
Yes.
And you remember she had a little oxygen bar in her house and he would take a whiff and she would say, what do you smell? And he'd be like, oh, hot, fresh buttered popcorn at the movie theater. Oh, autumn breeze in the Sunset Strip. Oh, winter in my, you know.
Yeah. You remember that actor, right? Bud Cort.
Bud Cort and the legendary, what's her name?
You say it first, because I know it.
Her name.
Yep. We She's both know
like
it.
She's like the best actress of all time.
She
it's
was fantastic.
It's not fair that I don't remember. Ruth Gordon.
Exactly. I was waiting for you, and you got it.
She knocked it out of the park in that movie. That was the movie about the 80-year-old woman and the 20-year-old boy.
Classic.
Falling in love.
Like the one of the, like, it's like the first cool, quirky, independent movie they ever made.
It might be time for Harold and Maude Redux. You know what I mean?
Who are you going to cast?
Good question. In the role.
Did you not have time to say question? You didn't have time for question?
It's just more fun with the pronunciation. Ruth Gordon. She didn't do a lot of movies. And she, I don't remember Ruth Gordon from before she was 70. You know what I mean?
No, there's
she
no.
She had this run. Right. One's had a run like this, starting at 70 and ending at 80, that was just crushing.
Do you think she knew her whole life? People were like, sorry, Ruth, it didn't quite work out for you. Just you wait. When I turn 70.
I don't know much about her. I'd love to, I should do a little research on her because she's a fascinating lady. I assume that she was a writer because she had that kind of approach to acting where it was like, she's such a brilliant actor, it feels like the she had the mind, a writer's mind. Can you kind of tell when you see a performer who is also a writer?
Like, yeah, I think I can.
She was a writer.
She was a writer. Look at that.
Yeah, numerous plays, film scripts, and books. Most notably, co-writing the screenplay for the 49 film Adam's Rib.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great movie.
She was a Broadway actress at 19.
Oh, damn. So she was acting all the way back in the
day. She was, but she probably knew the whole time at 70, putting this into hyperdrive, which is what I intend to do. I'm holding back.
What an inspiration.
And who saw us going there? That's the magic of this podcast. You never know where we're going to end up.
That's right.
And we ended up with regularly gas your balls.
Yeah, and dream of Ruth Gordon.
And dream of Ruth Gordon. And this is the beginning of a true friendship, don't you think? Now, we've crossed paths many times over the years. I've a huge admirer of yours, and now I feel like there's a real friendship here that will...
It's really going to get in the way of my WGT golf time, though, which is literally all the time.
So if you
It's really an annoying when I have to stop playing my WGT golf to do anything.
So you think the chances are you and I won't hang together because of your WGT golf on your phone?
I'd love to make a date to push bikes up a mountain, and I'd love to hear them bells jingling, jangling on the way down. It's all about the way down. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
The punishment of pushing the bike and the embarrassment as you cross. People are like, oh, nice push in there, you know, because everyone knows you're supposed to be riding it, but it's too hard.
Right.
So you're pushing it up. But when you get up to the top, and you look down, you're like, I'm going to ride this baby all the way home. Because I'm next to a hill, like in the Los Feliz area.
Got it.
Griffith Park Hills.
Nice.
You come riding down that hill, you can ride it all the way home.
I tell you my dream.
Yeah.
My dream, and this is real, this is a fantasy of mine, is I've had friends, because I ride with these other guys at mountain bike. I have friends that ride up in the hills above LA, and they've encountered like a bobcat, you know? And the bobcat usually looks at them and then walks away. I want to be on my bike, encounter a bobcat, and fight it. I really do. I really want to fight it. And I know I'd get somewhat hurt, but I know that I would come back out of the hills and people would have a real respect for me.
Yeah.
For the first time in my life, I would fucking fight a bobcat. I would come back. Can't you see this? Like, I'd be scraped and scratched, and I would have wrestled the cat.
Yeah.
And the cat eventually would have, and I would have parted company, and then they'd
you
be...
You would have been murdered.
What? What do you mean?
Wouldn't you?
Would I be killed?
Yeah.
I think
he's very easily murdered.
Yeah. Who is?
Yeah, not murdered, but
you're
killed.
Murderable.
Yeah. You're very easily killable.
Yeah.
So I think you would be
I would cover my throat the whole time. Because that's where they try and get the jugular.
Yeah. That'll help.
Yeah.
That'll help.
I would have one hand covering my jugular and the other I would just be swatting at this bobcat.
No.
No?
No.
You'll die. Yeah. You'll die quickly.
All right.
There was a story about a guy who was attacked and fought and killed a bobcat.
Yes, I saw that.
Not that long ago.
Right.
Like a year ago, maybe.
Yeah.
And it seemed like he was this heroic figure for the first like 24 hours of this story coming out. And then the next day, a little more came out that it was actually a tiny little baby bobcat that he had murdered. And then it was and less it was, heroic.
And it was sleeping.
And more just sort of sad. But no, he had to, the next day after that, I was like, no, you don't understand. Even though it was a little one, it was really dangerous. And it was it was still self-defense.
Yeah.
I was almost killed.
Right. It turned out that he had four machetes and it was sleeping.
So at the end of the day, he was 50-50 hero and 50-50.
No, I think it's 80-20. Yeah. 80 douche, 20 hero.
See, I feel like that would be kind of your story coming down from
it
the
would. Yeah. They would find out later on. No, that's a cat.
It was Bobcat Goldthwait.
Yeah, it was Bobcat Goldthwait. Bobcat Goldthwait was sleeping on a park bench taking a nap in Santa Monica, and you rode by, got off your bike, and hit him with a manhole cover. So... well, this has been a real joy. You're one of the most enjoyable fellows in the whole business of show.
Oh, well,
which is
the
show business.
Mutual.
No, please.
It's true.
Well, it's really, you know, stretch that thought out a little bit. In about
feel
10 minutes.
Free to snip and cut if there's any long awkward sections where I rambled on.
No. We like to only have the long awkward sections.
Cool.
It's called Long and Awkward with Conan O'Brien.
That's you.
What?
That's you.
Yeah. Oh, God. I don't like the way this ended. Jack, you're a great man. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Con.
Sona, what would you do with $100 billion? Seriously.
Oh, I would buy a country.
Okay. I would buy just a ton of yachts and private jets, and I would duct tape them all together and then just have it go in a circle in the Pacific Ocean.
What?
Yeah, I don't know, just to be a total jerk. Anyway, there is a correct answer.
Oh.
And it's build incredible cities in fantastical locations while competing with your friends to be the biggest tycoon in the world. What do you think of that answer?
That's better than mine.
Yep, and mine, which you can do with Monopoly Go, the hit mobile game that's so much fun, it's been downloaded over 150 million times. It's the fun of classic Monopoly on the go, anytime, anywhere. Endless new surprises like tons of boards and crazy minigames. You can team up with your chums on community chess and tournaments to get big money. Or you can go after their fortune changing rent on your properties or even pulling a bank heist on them. So much fun. It's incredible. So start building up your billions today. Go download Monopoly Go, now free on the App Store and Google Play. You know, it's incredible to have the flexibility to work in all sorts of places, whether it's taking video calls from the park or emailing large files while you're grocery shopping. Sona, this is good for you.
Is it?
Because you're always doing whatever work you do for me from fun locations.
But I like blaming it on not having reception.
I know, but you can't do that here. Working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network, which is why you should check out T-Mobile, Sona.
Okay.
Then you got no excuses. They're America's largest and fastest 5G network. With T-Mobile, you'll be covered in more places with the 5G speed you need for your life on the go. Plus, they also cover more highway miles with 5G than anybody else. Check it out if you don't believe me. Hey, Blay, you've got T-Mobile, right?
I do. I was actually just up in the woods in Idlewild. It was fantastic for the weekend, and my T-Mobile phone didn't miss a beat.
You know, I wouldn't think you'd need a cell phone because you speak so loudly into a microphone.
Well, I had to look some stuff up.
Just take it down.
I didn't know when brunch was.
I can hear him.
When the restaurant's open for brunch.
Okay.
So I used my T-Mobile coverage to check
terrific,
out brunch.
Boy. That's all right. Anyway, wherever you are, you know, take it from the loud-speaking Blay. If you're on the go, you want to be in the know, you want to make the show.
What?
T-Mobile.
Okay.
That's the one for you.
That was weird.
I should have rhymed it with go. Anyway, find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today. Coverage not available in some areas. Fastest based on median overall combined 5G speeds, according to analysis by Ookla of Speed Test Intelligence Data Q3 2023. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Bye.
Absolutely.
Every so often, I think it's good to do a state of the podcast, sort of a state of the union thing.
Your voice started really high there.
It did?
Did you hear that?
Every so often.
You went, do you hear that, Sana?
A little bit.
Yeah, you went, every so often. But anyway, I think, go ahead. I don't want to criticize or make you feel self-conscious. Go ahead.
No, you've never done that.
Go ahead.
Okay. So I thought we'd check in and see where we are.
I'm really having a great time. I'll admit, I was a little worried. Oh my God, we're going to do this a second season. And what if it starts to feel like a job? I think we have retained our level of unprofessionalism. I think that it's as foolish as ever.
It trickles down.
Yeah.
We should be commended on our levels of maintaining this unprofessionalism.
Yes, I think so. And I've been really having a good time and loving the guests this season and just enjoying it, really enjoying it. And for me to truly enjoy myself is unheard of.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Yeah.
So, Ana, what about you?
It's cool.
Sorry. You see an edible fell out of her mouth when she said that?
No, I'm fine.
Are you okay?
I'm fine.
Okay, it's all good, right?
What are you doing?
I don't know. Seem a little buzzed.
I'm not buzzed.
Okay.
Don't
it's
do
11:30
that.
In the morning.
It's 11:30. I didn't do anything.
Okay.
If you worked for you, you'd be high all the time.
That's great. If I worked for me,
yeah,
I'd be high all the time.
Yeah, you'd put it in your breakfast.
I'm a lovely boss,
oh.
I think.
Huh. Who really are you?
Yeah, I am a good boss.
We were just talking about how you called my dad Geppetto because he has a mustache and you said he made my brother out of wood.
Yeah. Your father. It's true. When I first met your father, I saw that he had this big white mustache and you have an older brother. And then I started imitating your father by putting my finger under my nose, pretending it was a mustache and talking about how he wanted a boy. So he carved your brother Danny out of wood.
Uh-huh.
And then Danny came to life and started trading in stocks.
Yeah. Are you proud of yourself?
Yeah. I thought it was pretty funny. I remembered you actually laughing really hard at the time.
It was. It was funny.
It was funny.
Yeah.
And I love your dad. I danced with your dad at your wedding.
Yeah.
We did a crazy dance together.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember— People threw money on you.
Yes. People were throwing money. Oh. It's an Armenian, I guess, tradition that they throw money up in the air.
Yeah.
And so I remember just getting showered with dollar bills.
Yeah.
While I was doing an insane dance with your father, and I couldn't keep up with your dad. He must jazzercise constantly. It was amazing what your dad was able to do.
Yeah. No, but you did really well. You did.
That's a video that's out there.
It's a video that's out there.
Oh, you can look
it's
it up.
Conan dancing at my wedding with my dad and people throwing money. And it was really fun.
And I made $66 that day.
You took the money?
I actually,
that wasn't for you.
I fought a child. There was a little boy that came out who must have been 4 years old. I think it was one of your nephews.
Pinocchio.
A little Pinocchio. He was made of wood, but he was slowly coming to life. And I remembered he was picking up the dollar bills off the floor, and I thought, I'm the one that danced. So I gave him a hockey hip check, and he went flying into some baklava, and I picked up all the money.
Like an exotic dancer.
Yeah, and stuffed it into my pants. like a freak. Those were good times. That was a great wedding.
Thank you.
Yeah, really good. So glad I was invited.
So the state of the podcast is pretty good.
I would say, look, there's a lot of, we have a little bit of dysfunction here at the show.
A lot.
But I do think that it's real. Here's what I'm learning about as I do this podcast. I'm learning, Sona, I love that the real you comes across. Sona's gift, I think, on this podcast is that she is always 100% herself.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And I've seen
that's
you in,
nice.
You meet all these famous people and you're always just Sona. You don't freak out. You're always like, oh, hi, you know, Hillary Clinton, or hi, famous person, and you're just yourself. Gorley, I'm learning that you are a god in the podcast sphere. Every time guests come in here, they're like, oh, I love your podcast, Jim and with Jub, or Flip Flop and Squub Squub. You know, you have all these—
Squub's good.
Yeah. Thank you. That's my passion.
No, but have you hosted like 40 podcasts?
It's something ridiculous like that. I'm not proud of it.
Why?
Well, it's ridiculous. It's absurd. I mean, some of them are truly absurd.
No, but you get a lot of
street cred. When people come in here, and I'm always surprised, because sometimes it'll be, you know, someone who I won't think will know you.
Yeah, me too.
Like a Robert Caro, like a great historian is in
his
80s.
He did not.
Yeah, he came in, he was like, oh my God, you do Flub Flub on the Squanto. And I love it. I love the one, you know.
Robert Caro did improv with you.
Yeah, and yeah. Remember the time
well,
you
we
and
do
I.
Weekly. We do improv together
yeah,
weekly.
Yeah. He's a regular at yeah. UCB.
So anyway, yeah. I was. That's what I'm learning.
Well, the three of us really bring the goods, don't we, in our relative expertise of hosting, of podcasting, and of being yourself.
Yeah, it's sort of a, yeah, it's a 95.5, I think.
Wow.
Hmm.
I think that's an accurate.
95.5?
Yeah. I think I bring an incredible, like 90%, you know, and then.
I think if this podcast.
Hey, be happy with five.
I think if this podcast was just you, people would hate you. We make you likable.
Yeah. You humanize me.
We humanize you.
Yeah.
Because you are a, you could be a.
Untrue. Whatever you're going to say now, you're going to go too far and say I'm a monster or something.
I was actually thinking monster. Yeah, you know me
too.
So well.
I was thinking inhuman
yeah,
monster.
Yeah, but no, that's not true. You
maniac.
Are, you know what,
no,
you are. You are.
You know, let's keep
love
in mind.
You. We all love each other.
Yes.
We love
sure.
you.
Let's keep in mind, Stalin was fun at a party.
Okay.
Yeah,
why
that
did
makes
you
sense.
Say that, though?
That makes sense. Yeah, yeah, I think that's right.
Why would
yeah.
you have say
I,
that?
Have I collectivized farms? Have I displaced millions? Yes, in my own way, I have. But at a party, I'm really fun.
Well, now, Stalin had a kind of Geppetto mustache.
He did. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks for comparing to my dad.
Yeah.
That was nice.
You just did a nice tie-in.
That was good. Thank you for that.
At least in my telling, Sona's dad is a kindly man who all he wants is a boy. In yours, he's probably the worst mass murderer in history.
Well, you were likening yourself to Stalin.
Only in the good qualities, in that I love to talk to my staff late at night at parties where I force them to drink a lot of vodka. And I'm incredibly paranoid. And yeah.
I don't like it.
You don't like what now?
You compared yourself to Stalin, and then you got angry that I was going to go call you a monster.
Mm-hmm.
But you yourself, you do it to you. You're just, you know what? I don't know. I'm over it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we're walking out. We're unionizing.
Least coherent.
We're unionizing.
That was the least coherent clapback. Yeah, well, you just, because you, I'm over it. Gloop. Wow. Sona claps back incoherently. Hey, guess what? The English language just clapped back at you.
Oh,
this
wow.
is a full-on Twitter feud between you and the English language.
Oh, my God.
Oh, come on. Sona, we're just having a good time. Here, everyone have some vodka. Come on.
Oh, thank
gulp,
you.
Gulp,
thank
gulp,
you.
Gulp, gulp,
gulp, gulp, gulp, gulp.
Well, the state of the podcast is strong.
Is it?
I really don't think it is.
No,
it is
it's
strong
not.
As ever.
Train wreck.
Barely
nah,
hanging
this
on.
This is we're
it's
going full
on
steam ahead.
By a very thin thread.
Stepped it up a notch here. We go home to our podcast home where the three of us live.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
This is my nightmare.
I think the state of the podcast is strong, and I have both of you to thank for that. I thank you.
95.5 still?
Yeah. Well, you know what? I'm 88.
Oh, thanks.
So you're 2 and Gorley's 10.
Gorley,
if you take this, you get 10.
That's accurate, though, kind of.
I can't
do it.
Throw you under the bus.
Do it. You know you want
know,
to.
You can't.
Nations.
No.
Yeah.
You're
all
not
right.
going
well,
to drive
if you've
a wedge.
If you've enjoyed listening to Gorley today, check him out. Are you how many podcasts do you have right now?
Right now?
Yeah.
Two, three.
Oh, they're clearly very important to you.
I know. They come and go. In a way, they're not, but that's why they're fun, right?
Nope. I believe in really caring so much about your work that it's an indelible part of your soul.
Oh.
But that's where you and I differ.
Oh, God.
Okay.
Yeah, I have a soul.
On.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend. With Sona Movsesian and Conan O'Brien as himself. Produced by me, Matt Gorley. Executive produced by Adam Sachs and Jeff Ross at Team Coco and Colin Anderson and Chris Bannon at Earwolf. Theme song by The White Stripes. Incidental music by Jimmy Vivino. Our supervising producer is Aaron Blair and our associate talent producer is Jennifer Samples. The show is engineered by Will Becton. You can rate and review this show on Apple Podcasts, and you might find your review featured on a future episode. Got a question for Conan? Call the Team Coco hotline at 323-451-2821 and leave a message. It too could be featured on a future episode. And if you haven't already, please subscribe to Conan O'Brien Needs a Friend on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, or wherever fine podcasts are downloaded. This has been a Team Coco production in association with Earwolf.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.